In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. People who study the trends in culture refer to the people born between 1981 and 1996 as millennials. Some who are watching today might be millennials. Many of us have children who are millennials. Both of mine are. Some of you have grandchildren who are millennials. The era of the dominance of the baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964, such as me, is over. Millennials make up the largest segment of the population today, 25%. This is a true story about a millennial woman I knew. She was baptized in the Lutheran Church. As a child, she attended worship in Sunday school with her family, but her family became inactive before she reached confirmation age. She got married in the church, and as an adult, she considered herself a person of faith, but her job and her children made it difficult for her to get to church on Sunday. However, she wanted her children to have the foundation of faith that she had. So she made the effort and took the bold step to take herself and her children to church one Sunday. I say it was a bold step because she wasn't sure how she would be received. Although she remembered several people in the church who had been very nice to her when she was a child, she also recalled some people. She called them the old German ladies who were cold and judgmental. Would they accept this stranger who hadn't been in church in decades? Thanks be to God, she found the people there to be friendly and welcoming. There was a Sunday school for her children with devoted teachers. She and her children made friends. All was good. But life can take some strange turns. Her husband became unemployed. She got pregnant with twins. The church stood beside her and supported her through these trials. She had beautiful twin babies. The old German ladies doted on them. You have not seen doting until you see old German lady doting. Her husband found a job. She and her family became an integral part of church life. They were blessed by the congregation, and they were a blessing to the congregation. Her story is heartwarming, inspirational, and hopeful, but sadly, it's the exception. Although millennials make up the largest segment of the U.S. population, they are the least likely generation to be in church or to be church members. About 35 million of them identify as unchurched. Only 11% are in worship on a typical Sunday morning. This is not an indictment of the millennials or their parents or our churches. Let's say up front that parents and churches can do their best and do everything right to retain their young members and attract new disciples, and things still don't go as we desire. The situation is complex, and there is no one-size-fits-all explanation or solution to the problem. If it's the church's mission to reach out with God's love to all people and to touch their lives with the gospel. In our reading from Matthew today, we see Jesus' appreciation of young people. In his third epistle, John the Apostle, speaking by the Spirit on God's behalf, says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." We know that people of all ages need to hear the word and receive the sacrament. We must work the mission field that God has put in front of us, and a big part of that mission field is the millennials and their children. If we don't share the gospel with them, the good news of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, and the forgiveness of sins, who will? Recently, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod did an extensive study of why millennials either remained in the church or left the church. What they found is interesting and instructive for us. The decline in church membership that all denominations are seeing didn't begin with the millennials. That decline began with my generation, the baby boomers, and it has continually gotten worse. I was a child of the 1960s and 70s. These were the days of the sexual revolution, the Vietnam War, and Watergate. There was a general distrust of authority and a feeling that the church was out of touch and irrelevant. The biggest complaint I heard was that the church was full of hypocrites. There were times that my family was inactive in the church. I'm not sure that the reasons I mentioned had anything to do with their level of participation. It was probably due more to personal issues. At that time, my family and the other families I know at least had all of their children baptized and went to worship on Christmas and Easter. It was shocking to read that today only 1 out of 100 babies born will be baptized as an infant. Some of that has to do with the rise of denominations that don't practice infant baptism, but it has even more to do with people who just don't believe in baptism at all. Shockingly again, in our synod, 80% of the children baptized do not grow up to be adult church members. And even more shockingly, only about 1 in 3 young people that are confirmed remain members of the church. Why is this happening? That is the question that the synod asked the millennials. Surprisingly, it had nothing to do with worship style. Whether the church had a traditional liturgy like ours or contemporary worship with a praise band had no effect on the young people whether they stayed in the church or left. It also seems that the individual characteristics of the pastor had little to do with it either. But that doesn't let me off the hook. The foremost factor in millennials and others remaining active in the church is their parents. If the parents are committed church members, it's more likely that their children will be too. Now, I know that many of you here have been extremely active church members, and your children are not, and you grieve that. No one is putting the blame on you. You did what you could. The world is pulling people away from the church, and the world is one tough competitor. What we're saying is that it's rare that someone walks into a church with no Christian upbringing and becomes a member. Laying a Christian foundation for our children is so important. Along with the parents, if young people in their teenage years have 1 or 2 other adults that they can relate to, people who really take them under their wing, that bodes well for that person remaining in the church. These can be Sunday school teachers or youth leaders or whomever. The genuine caring and trust of another human being is the crucial part. So you, yes, you, can be a Christian mentor. Along with that is the need for a general environment of warmth and grace in the congregation. No one is going to stay in a place where there is tension and contention. I cannot help but wonder what the effect on young people is when they hear adults complain about the church and church leaders. What impression does angry church controversies leave on young people's image of God's holy church? It can't be good. We need to be careful about what we say. As Christ has loved and forgiven us, we must love and forgive. Years ago, there was a predictable pattern that people would grow up in the church, they would usually get inactive after confirmation, and then come back to church when they got married and had children. That pattern does not hold today. The study found that if the congregation is intentional, in keeping in contact with their young people as they go off to college or the military or their first job, those people are more likely to remain Christian. So how do we engage young people? The millennials are the most technologically advanced generation. Smartphones, computers, navigating social media are second nature to them, unlike baby boomers like me. Often churches get stuck in the era of mimeographs when the rest of the world is using iPhones. And if you're a baby boomer, you might need to explain what a mimeograph is to a millennial. I'm proud of our congregation that we have a good presence on the internet. Our Sunday sermons and services can be accessed that way. Our newsletter and weekly updates go out via email. You can find our website there. Technology is how the millennials get their information, and if we are going to reach out to them, electronically is the way to go. Another characteristic of millennials is that they highly value service to the community. They don't want to just talk about Christ's love. They want to show Christ's love. They are looking for opportunities to serve. Again, I don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much, but we've been supporting a number of local, regional, and national organizations that serve others in need. The thank you letters that we've received from these groups you can find on the bulletin board next to my office. Many members of our congregation volunteer in programs and projects here in Wellsville. I'm thinking especially of the Heart House that provides hospice care. And earlier this year, we helped send a young lady from our congregation on a mission trip. Christ is serving people through us. So what are our next steps? Where do we go from here? What do we do to retain young people and regain those who have wandered off? We use all of the information and all of the technology that we can. But even more importantly, we pray. In any situation, prayer is the most important thing we can do. So pray, pray, pray for your children, our children, that have wandered away from the faith, that the Spirit might enliven their faith again. And talk to them. Let me correct that. Listen to them. Acknowledge whatever hurts they've suffered, whatever their issues are. You can't solve them, but you can let them know that you understand and that you care. Let them know that you love them and God loves them true. You can't argue anyone into believing, but the Holy Spirit just might use you to love them into faith. And trust Jesus. He has a plan for us. His will is going to get done one way or another. His timetable is perfect. Jesus loves all generations, and everything will work out just fine. Amen.